Hello and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. I'm so glad that you're with me this hour as we continue our look at Black Lives and Christianity. This is from the Barna Group's research, where they focus on the Black Lives Matter movement and racial tension in America. And so we're definitely looking at this in a somewhat general perspective, but we're also looking at it from a more specific perspective, and that is the way it has to do with, well, the involvement of Christianity. Yes, the way it has to do with Christianity, because we're also looking at the way that Christians are evolving, are responding inwardly and outwardly to this whole issue of the Black Lives Matters movement. You know, one of the things that I had mentioned before is that when we're asking ourselves this question, how do we feel about the notion that Black Lives Matter? This needs to be a question that not only members of the white community would be asking, because I know a lot of people would just automatically assume that the white community is the only community that really needs to be asking, do I really embrace the notion that Black Lives Matter? But that's not true. For one thing, as I've said so many times before, there are so many white people who genuinely care about black people. And the truth be told, and let's just face it, there are quite a few white people who care more about black people than a lot of black people care about black people. All we have to do is look at the proof that is in the pudding. Think about the many, many white people who fought against slavery until slavery was abolished. There's no doubt that there were a lot of black people fighting against it too. But there were also Hispanics fighting against slavery. There were people coming from other countries fighting against, arguing against slavery. And within the nation of America, no doubt, a lot of black people fighting against slavery, but also a lot of white people fighting against slavery. Think about the Jim Crow era, when so much injustice was still being perpetrated upon the black race. And here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen. We had a lot of black people who were really crying out against the injustice of that era. But we also had Hispanics, Asians, and a lot of white people who also cried out against the racism, the injustice of that era. When you think about the progress that has been made in America, and don't get me wrong, I know that we still have a long way to go because we still have a lot of people who still hate the black race, the entire black race. They would just as soon see the entire black race wiped off the face of the earth as see the black race begin to do well as a race, to do as well as the white race is doing financially, etc. But that's not the case for all white people. That's why when you hear me talk about matters of race, you hear me always say it is the white racist who causes this problem or that, and not the white race. Think about the many white people who risked losing their jobs, who risked losing their homes, who risked becoming outcasts, social outcasts, because they stood for racial justice and for racial harmony. But it was so important to them, they were willing to take those risks. Think about the many, many white people who lost their lives fighting for racial, social, and economic justice. And think about the fact that one of our presidents, who was really responsible for having the Civil Rights Act passed, former President Johnson, also urged Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. to give a lot of attention to the importance of economic justice, economic equality, jobs, 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 because that was going to be very, very important to the survival and eventually the prospering of the black race. A white president made that point to one of our most significant voices of the civil rights era. So many white people have done and still are doing much, certainly for the white race, but also for other ethnicities as well. While at the same time, we have black people who are doing much to help the black race, black people going into business and hiring other black people who are succeeding on the corporate level and mentoring other black people, black business people who are doing well in business, who are supporting up-and-coming black business leaders who need more support and need to be strengthened as they run their business race. And I'm telling you, that is a beautiful thing. I know that we hear a lot that within the black community, there's this crab syndrome where anytime a black person sees another black person doing well, they're going to try to pull them down. Well, that's a bit of an exaggeration because there are a lot of black people who do like to see other black people doing well, and they will help all they can. On the other side, though, there are a lot of black people who do indeed enjoy hurting other black people, even when the black people they are hurting have never tried to hurt them. The antagonism is not mutual. It is one-sided. But also think about the black pain that comes from incest within families. How about the black pain that comes as a result of parents telling their children that they're nothing and they never will be worth anything? And not that the child did anything to provoke the parent to take that position and be so malicious towards their own children. But, ladies and gentlemen, let's just face reality. You know, this is a program where we really, really emphasize having real talk about the real world. And in the real world, in the black community, it's just like in every other community. You have some families where the parents genuinely love their children and do much to make life good for their children. You have families where the parents care about the children, but not enough to really go all out to make life good for them. You have families where the parents neglect the children. And you have families where the parents abuse the children, just like in every other ethnicity. As it is with every other ethnicity, so it is with the black community. You have a mix of dynamics going on. It's not all one dynamic. It's not all abuse. It's not all neglect. It is not all, I'm going to do, you know, some things for you. It's not all about the parents just going all out. It is that combination, it's that mix where you'll find these different dynamics in different homes. And in some homes, you might find a mix of those same dynamics as part of the equation as things change from one day to the next, one month to the next, or one year to the next. There may be varying levels of commitment coming from the same parents being directed to the same children. It's not so cut and dry as to say it's all this way. So as we look at this whole issue of the Black Lives Matter movement and how people are responding to that concept. Don't just keep everything black and white. Hispanics matter. Asians matter. Indians matter. We all matter. And that's why, as I said before, I agree with the people who say all lives matter. The issue is with the black race, there's a lot more negative directed towards the black race than there is towards other races. A lot more abuse, shooting of unarmed black men and women by members of law enforcement. Abuse that ends in physical harm, though maybe not death. The whole issue of working so hard to make it more and more difficult for people of color to vote. And on it goes. There are challenges faced by members of the black community that other communities, especially the white community, does not have to face because they don't have these issues thrown in their faces. I think it is good that the white community doesn't have to face a lot of the stuff that the black community does have to face. It is so very unfortunate that the black race does have to face it. But again, we need to be looking at all of the causes of these challenges that we're confronted with. Not only those challenges that come from outside of the community, the black community, but also those that start from within, even as close as the family, and spread on out. The trouble that black worshipers cause for fellow black worshipers, the troubles that black employees cause for fellow black employees, and on. So we need to be examining thoroughly, assessing, evaluating thoroughly, objectively, and courageously. Because a lot of times it can be just scary for a lot of people to face the truth if the truth is going to turn up something that makes them or could prompt them to feel bad about themselves. If they can just point the accusing finger at the other group, the other people, whoever the other people are, they'll feel okay about that. But if a thorough assessment of what's really going on will shine a light on some dirt in their homes, they want to shy away. No, let's be courageous. Let's be courageous people of integrity, regardless of the color of our skin, regardless of our social class. And that said, Barna's research had turned up quite a bit of information about how people are responding to this whole issue of the Black Lives Matter movement. And one of the things that the Barna Group, which is a Christian nonpartisan group, has said is that more than any other segment of the population, white evangelical Christians demonstrate a blindness to the struggle of their African-American brothers and sisters. And this according to Brooke Hempel, who again is the vice president of research at Barna Group. She goes on to say that this is a dangerous reality for the modern church. Jesus and his disciples actively sought to affirm and restore the marginalized and to obliterate divisions between groups of people. Yet our churches and ministries are still some of the most ethnically segregated institutions in the country. How are we doing with that, ladies and gentlemen? You walk into a white church, a predominantly white church, and you see very, very few black people. Do you ever ask why that's the case? You walk into a black church and you see very few white people, very few Hispanics, very few Asians. Do you ever ask yourself, why is that the case? You walk into a predominantly Hispanic church and you see very few people there who are not Hispanic, do you ever ask, why is that the case? And so on down the line. Well, Hempel says that by failing to recognize the disadvantages that people of color face and the inherent privileges that come up from growing up in a majority culture, we perpetuate the racial divisions, the inequalities, and the injustices that prevent African American communities from thriving. I want to ask you something. How many of you read about these situations where, let's just call them religious wars, take place? And we can be looking at it contemporarily, or we can be looking at it historically, where you have different groups representing different religions at war with each other. Of course, there is a winner the vast majority of the time. And the group that wins takes over. And they basically mistreat the group they have defeated. And they insist that the group that has been conquered change their ways, change their culture, adopt a new religion, and so on. And they look at this and they say, well, you know, not only do we want you to change your culture, not only do we want you to adopt our religion, but if you don't do these things, there's not a chance that you will not be treated as second or third class citizens, even though you were in this country before we got here. With a lot of these religious wars, that's the way it turned out. How does it work for us in America? We know that there was a collusion between quite a few black Africans and white Americans and bringing about and then perpetuating the slave trade. And let's not forget, that was a collusion. A lot of people really like pointing the accusing finger at the white race when it comes to the slave trade. And there were definitely a lot of white people involved in that slave trade. But there were a lot of black people involved too. We must not forget, black Africans were hunting down and chasing down and capturing and selling their fellow black Africans into slavery. That collusion brought many black people to America. There's been a lot of progress made. I talked about the fight against slavery, the fight against Jim Crow, the current fight to avoid the attempts that so many people are making to turn back the clock, take us back to the historic days, which I guess for a lot of them would be considered the good old days. Hempel says that as a result of failing to recognize, and in many cases it really has to do with just admitting that there are disadvantages that people of color face. He uses the word we because she, of course, is white. And she says we perpetuate the racial divisions, the inequalities, and the injustices that prevent African-American communities from thriving. And it's so unfortunate to put systems in place and develop those systems that prevent African-Americans from thriving and then blame the African-Americans for not thriving. I'll be right back.